Fasten your seatbelts and turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip.
You know what we get to do today, Brooks? We get to play baseball.
Well, what did you think we were going to start off with? Take me out to the ball game? Too predictable. But we are taking you out to the ball game on this week's edition of Route 51 on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hello, I'm Bill Martins, in for Glenn Moberg this week. A great time of year for baseball fans in our neck of the woods. Brewers are playing some really good ball. The Woodchucks and Rafters are just starting their seasons. We've got high school baseball, Little League, all kinds of stuff going on, and we're going to dig into some of that this very hour. Now, we're not just going to talk stats the whole time. I know some people get annoyed by that, so we won't do it the whole time. There will be part of that in the show, but we're also going to talk about the spirit of the game. What is it about baseball that you really like? Do you prefer major league, minor league, college, semi-pro, some other level? Do you go for the action on the field or the food or the t-shirt toss? What's your favorite baseball memory? 1-800-780-9742 is the number to call. 1-800-780-9742. You can also follow us on Twitter at Route 51 Show. And don't forget to like Route 51 on Facebook. We've got a poll up on the best baseball movies, so feel free to take part in that. And you can add your own nomination if you don't see yours in the list. Again, that's the Route 51 Facebook page. I'm told Field of Dreams is in the lead. I've got some thoughts on that movie. Not bad. But if you think something else is better, by all means, you can vote for something else. We've got a number of guests lined up for you today. One of them is one of the newest members of the Central Wisconsin Baseball Hall of Fame, Pam Gardner. She's a D.C. Everest graduate, now president of operations for the Houston Astros. We'll talk to her. Also, Andrew Dunn Bauman is a freshman at UW Oshkosh. She does some play-by-play announcing for the Titans and also hosts a sports radio show. We'll get that youth perspective in about 12 minutes or so coming up. But first, joining us for the entire hour is Chris Schulte, sports editor for the Wausau Daily Herald. Good to have you on Route 51, Chris.
Great to be here.
I hear you're a big Yankees fan.
I certainly am, yes.
Well, sorry to, about that loss to your arch rivals, the Red Sox, last night.
We'll be okay. It's only June.
Yeah. Just to shake it off, it'll be all right.
Exactly.
I know those hurt. On the other hand, though, what a great night for the Brewers. You know, they squandered a fantastic outing by Randy Wolf. The bullpen came in, turned a 2-1 lead over the Mets after seven into a 6-2 deficit in the eighth. And then the Brewers came back to tie it in their half of the eighth and finally won it on a walk-off double by Niger Morgan in the ninth. Spectacular. They haven't been much of a comeback team for most of the season, but they seem to be getting better lately, don't you think?
Yeah, they've had, what, two? That's two in a week, isn't it? Because I think last Friday night they came back and won also.
Indeed they did.
Yeah, that's important, too, those ninth-inning wins. Those 1- and 2-run wins are the ones that make the difference at the end.
Yeah, I guess so. And maybe in a perfect world, the bullpen wouldn't collapse and we wouldn't have to worry about them coming from behind. So what's your assessment of the Brewers' relievers this season?
Well, I think, like you just said, I think when your bullpen is up and down like that and struggles at times, you're going to need to have that ability to come back. And, they're still, I think that's the area of concern, obviously. But with the offense they have, they seem to be able to offset it. And it'll be interesting to see how they pitch on the road, too, because Brewers, I think, right now are the best home team in baseball and one of the worst on the road. So that'll be interesting to see.
You know, John Axford, speaking of relievers, picked up some saves during that four-game sweep of the Marlins last weekend, but he's got a way with making it interesting. How much confidence do you have in Axford if this team is going to make a playoff run?
Well, I think a lot of the guys who develop into the best relievers in baseball have a way of making it interesting. Again, being a Yankee fan, I see Mariano Rivera many times keep it interesting. Jonathan Papelbon for the Red Sox makes it interesting. And I think some of those, Trevor Hoffman, even in his heyday, made things interesting. So maybe it's something to be said for making it interesting, and this guy's going to turn into a great one.
Yeah, I guess as long as you get the save, that's the important thing. Axford actually pitched the ninth and picked up the win last night, but I think the big offensive star had to have been Prince Fielder, who hit his 16th and 17th homers of the season last night. Talk about how hot he's been lately.
Yeah, he's definitely on fire right now and kind of the guy for the Brewers who makes that offense go. And, you know, he needs a big season if the Brewers are going to keep this up, that's for sure.
Yeah, and I think, and on the other hand, I suppose if he has a big season, I don't know if he'll be a Brewer for too much longer, if you know what I mean.
Oh, yeah, this is a walking year, so it's amazing how those players know the years when their contracts are up, that's for sure.
Yeah, so you pretty much, are you in agreement that he's pretty much gone after this year?
Yeah, I think he'll be in fact, I wouldn't be surprised, there's a prediction, if he winds up in Boston as their DH, the next David Ortiz.
Boston?
Yeah, because Ortiz's career is starting to wind down, and I wouldn't be surprised to see Prince wind up over there.
Well, as much as I, being a Brewers fan, as much as I guess hate to say that, I could see him wearing a Red Sox uniform.
Yeah, oh, I'd hate it too, believe me.
Yeah, I suppose being a Yankees fan, that's a guy you don't want to face.
No.
And, of course, Ryan Braun putting together another good year. He's the leading vote-getter, I guess, among NL outfielders for the All-Star game next month. You know, if it wasn't for Aaron Rodgers picking up a Super Bowl ring, yeah, I think one could make a serious case for Braun being Wisconsin's biggest sports superstar. What do you think?
Oh, I think that's true. And I think just the fact that a guy from Milwaukee is leading the outfielders in all of baseball, when you look at the other, you know, the size of the other markets, I think it certainly says something for his play and obviously his character and stuff, and the fact that people like him and they like the way he plays. And I think you're right with the Aaron Rodgers things. Of course, I don't know if anyone's ever proposed to Aaron Rodgers from the crowd like that woman did earlier this year with Ryan Braun. So.
Yeah, and Braun tried to actually call her, but I guess her voicemail was all full from other people who saw her number on the sign and were trying to call her.
Yeah, that's not the brightest thing I've ever seen done in a ball game, that's for sure.
I don't think we should do that.
No.
Probably not a good idea. So the Brewers, now 35-27. They're just a game and a half out of first in the NL Central, and they currently lead the wild card race. Is this about what you expected them to be at this point of the season?
No, not really. I knew they had a chance. I think a lot of the credit goes to Ron Renicki, too. He kind of came in as a no-name manager, and certainly he's pushing a lot of the right buttons. And you know, but they have to get better on the road. I mean, you know, there's no doubt about it. They have to play better on the road. And but right now, you know, you start getting some momentum, start getting some confidence, get the crowds out there, and you know, they did it a couple years ago when they got to the wild card, and you know, and they're only a game and a half behind St. Louis, so. You know, they're right there, and I think they're a little bit above everybody's expectations right now.
And they've got St. Louis this weekend. How huge is that series?
Exactly, and stuff. And I think with a team like Milwaukee, when you're kind of surprising people, I think these series, even though it's, you know, a lot of season left, I think those are the series where it is important that they play well and represent themselves well to keep that confidence going, and also keep the St. Louis players saying, hey, these guys are for real. You know, if St. Louis comes up here and sweeps them, you know, all of a sudden it's just like, yeah, okay, this is the Brewers that we always know.
So you thought the Brewers would not have 35 wins by this point?
No, not at all. I mean, I figured they'd, you know, be maybe right around 500, but, you know, not eight games over. And then winning in the fashion they are and stuff. And but Milwaukee is a great baseball town when the Brewers are playing well. I mean, people are, you know, start coming out and the ticket prices are good and, I mean, I've been there a couple times. It's a lot of fun down there at Miller Park.
1-800-780-9742 if you want to get in on the program. Talk a little baseball here. 1-800-780-9742. I heard Bob Uecker say during the game last night that the Brewers surpassed the 1 million mark in fan attendance at Miller Park so far this season. I guess they only had about 26,000 last night, though. Maybe you could blame that on some of the bad weather or that that Taylor Swift concert at the Bradley Center. But what do you make of 1 million fans through June 8th? This was something that really didn't happen at County Stadium.
Well, yeah, that's true. You know, the one thing, and I don't have the number in front of me, I think you got to look at, though, the number of home dates through this date compared to other years before you you know, get too excited. I think that'd be a better... you know, a better litmus test is to see, okay, you know, at this point of number of home games last year, how many fans had they drawn? And then I think you do a better job of really saying, okay, wow, look at this. Because if this year they've had, you know, eight more home games than a year ago, you know, then the number isn't quite as eye-popping as it, you know, appears. So, but it's still, you know, you win, people come out, no doubt about it.
How about the job Mark Antanasio's done since taking over as owner? I'm not even, you know, just talking about wins and losses, but he's made the organization exciting again.
Exactly, and I think he, you know, the whole organization, I think, is kind of following Tampa Bay Devil Rays model a little bit, and you know, drafting great players and having a great farm system and have people coming up and stuff over the last few years. And I think that that's going to be the key for, again, a team in the market the size of Milwaukee. That's what they're going to need to do, is have the guys, you know, build guys and bring them up.
Yeah. Let's move on to the Northwoods League, which is the league the Wisconsin Woodchucks and the Wisconsin Rapids Rafters play in. Totally different kind of baseball. How would you define it? It's not really minor league. Is it like semi-pro, or how do you define it?
It's basically, I think he would compare it to semi-pro, but you'd have to use that word loosely just because they're all college kids.
Yeah.
You know, but I think that's about the level you're looking at. You know, maybe even, you know, closer to the lowest Class A level in the major, you know, for Major League Baseball. Because a lot of the guys who get drafted out of the Northwoods League, that's where they go, right out, you know, down to the lowest Class A team. So it's quality, it's good quality baseball, that's for sure.
I was going to say, four Woodchucks were selected in the first 10 rounds of the Major League Baseball draft. So there's definitely good baseball to be seen in North Central Wisconsin, which is pretty cool.
That's for sure. These kids, you know, definitely. And the thing is, they're you know, really playing to impress people, and they're also playing to get used to the wood bats and things like that. So the kids who are here have a lot to prove.
I was going to ask, so they use wooden bats there. They don't use aluminum?
Yeah, exactly. Yep, it's a wood bat league. And it gives the scouts a better idea of, you know, I know when I covered AAA baseball in Utah years ago, the manager there telling me that the biggest difference with the wood bat and the aluminum bat is the sweet spot on a wood bat's like an inch or two. Sweet spot on an aluminum bat's basically from the handle to the tip. You know, I mean, it's a big change for the guys.
And there's something about the sound of a wooden bat hitting a ball that you just can't. The aluminum bat doesn't really cut it for a lot of people.
No, the ping just doesn't do it for you.
Well, unfortunately, the Chucks and Rafters aren't exactly off to blazing starts this year, 2-5 and 2-6 respectively. What are the expectations out of these two clubs this year?
Well, I think the Woodchucks have high expectations. Guido has done a nice job with the Chucks, and they're an established, you know, quote-unquote franchise, and were in the playoffs last year and just missed them the year before, and have a lot of good relationships with a lot of schools where these kids come from. Now, the Rafters, you know, just like an expansion baseball team professionally, they're still establishing those connections to universities and getting their, you know, the guys they want and stuff. So it's going to take a couple years, but the city's supporting them well. And they had Cody Kobach, you know, he played for them last year, drafted in the 10th round, I believe. So they're building.
Describe the experience of seeing a game at Athletic Park in Wausau as opposed to, you know, Miller Park.
I think the biggest thing is it's just an event more than it is the game. The people are there, they enjoy the game, and it's exciting. But it's just, you know, they have so many on-field promotions, and you see so many people you know because it's, you know, Wausau, and it just kind of becomes a family event that you can go to. I mean, it's, you know, doesn't cost much, the food's reasonable. Again, the baseball is good quality, and you know, I think it's just, that's probably the biggest difference, is you're going to an event, whereas if you go to Miller Park, you're going to a baseball game.
Yeah, I like the thing I really like about Athletic Park is it just has that old time feel to it. You know, they've got the stadium right in that residential area, almost like Wrigley. That's pretty neat.
Yeah, it's a fun place to go.
You know, when we think of baseball, we usually think of Major League Baseball, but what advantages would you say the Northwoods League has over, say, you know, MLB from a fans and a community's perspective?
Well, I think it's affordable, for one thing. It's nearby, you know, it's down the street. They start a half hour earlier, so, you know, parents who don't want to keep their kids out half the night, you know, usually the Woodchucks games are over by 9:30. So people who have to work in the morning and things like that, you know, you can still have your, you know, you can be home in time for the 10 o'clock news. And I think those are the types of things that, you know, make it special and make it fun.
We are talking with Chris Schulte, who is the sports editor for the Wausau Daily Herald. Chris will be with us for the rest of the hour talking baseball, but we've got a special guest coming up after the break. We're going to be talking about the youth perspective on baseball. And I must say, I've only got about 12 years on this guy when he was telling me which players he really admired growing up. But I suddenly felt a little older myself there. 1-800-780-9742 is the number if you want to step up to the plate. Think back to when you were a kid and what baseball meant to you. We'll see if those opinions still hold true with today's kids. All right, I'm Bill Martin, sitting in for Glenn Moberg on Route 51 on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Yeah, you must. That's the signal.
Support for WPR comes from Rely Local Wausau, working to build the local economy and strengthen the community by making local business everybody's business. Learn more about locally owned and operated businesses at relylocal.com.
Well, we are talking about baseball this hour here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Bill Martin's with you in for Glenn Moberg. He will make his triumphant return next week, and he's actually going to be filling in for Joey Cardine later this month. So that'll be fun to put Glenn back on the early shift once again. Right now, we continue our discussion on the game of baseball, and if you've got a baseball story you'd like to share or you've got a question about the Brewers, well, our guests here will be able to address that. We're going to line up Andrew Dunn Bauman from UW Oshkosh, having a little bit of trouble getting him on the line, but we should be able to get him on possibly after the newscast in just a few minutes. So in the meantime, we've got Chris Schulte, who is the sports editor for the Wausau Daily Herald. And Chris, you know, I wanted to ask Andrew about how the game maybe is different from when you and I were kids. I'm trying to think back. You know, one thing, when I was a kid, I used to collect a lot of baseball cards, and I think they were about 50 cents a pack or so, and then they all of a sudden went bananas, and they were like $2. I haven't bought them since. I don't know. Were baseball cards big when you were young?
Oh, yeah, they were huge, and I went through a spell even as I got closer to being an adult back in the 80s that I bought quite a few, and it was kind of fun. The other, about a week or so ago, I actually brought up, I mean, I probably have 100,000 of them, and I brought a bunch out with for my daughter. I wasn't sure what she would think of them, and she went pretty gaga over them, and it was kind of fun to watch. And
yeah, you know, well, great. Well, I guess we've got Andrew on the line now, so let's go to him. He is a freshman at UW Oshkosh, also happens to do play-by-play for the Titans and hosts the Friday Night Sports page on WRST Radio. Andrew, welcome to Route 51.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Yeah, good to have you. So you're a baseball guy, huh?
Yeah, I've grown up in baseball pretty much my entire life. Didn't really have a choice, but I've grown to love it, definitely.
Well, what got you hooked on it?
Well, my dad actually writes, he's covered baseball for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and now he writes for MLB.com. So I grew up in a family going to Brewers games pretty much 10, 15 times a season, watching pretty much every other game on television. Yeah, so it's been in my family my entire life.
Yeah, there you go. Well, I was kidding before the break that you told me, you know, who your favorite players were growing up, that I suddenly felt a little bit older. Tell us, you know, who you like to watch play or you had posters of in your room.
Well, a couple of my favorite Brewers, there weren't a whole lot of them that were all-stars back in the day when I was growing up. There were some rough times, but guys like Fernando Vina, Jeremy Burnitz, Marquise Grissom, Cal Eldred were all kind of guys that I idolized growing up.
Yeah, they were classics. They definitely were part of that. There's so many players who just kind of seemed to blur back in those late 90s, but yeah, it's kind of fun to think back there. I'm sure you've at least heard of some of the all-time greats, Ted Williams, Ty Cobb, Mickey Mantle, obviously. Did you get into that real classic Major League Baseball stuff growing up or not so much?
I did, actually. I've read a lot of baseball literature, I think, because of my father. I've almost grown more fond of, especially with the steroids era that just passed. Classic baseball was much more interesting to me for a little bit than even the modern day baseball because of what it represented and all the classics. Like you mentioned, there were so many great ball players back in the day. Really interesting to me to read about all of them.
I was asking Chris Schulte if he had collected baseball cards when he was a kid. It seems to me like it's not quite as big a deal today as it was back then. Were you a collector growing up?
I was for a little bit, not as much anymore. As you said, they get pretty expensive nowadays. But I do look for occasionally some old classics and rookie baseball cards that are worth a lot. I have a few that are probably worth quite a bit of money nowadays. But it is a little bit of a dying thing. Not as many people seem to collect them nowadays. I don't really know any friends of mine who still collect. But it's too bad because it was it was a good hobby to have as a kid.
Yeah, it was. And I had a few that I, you know, thought, oh, man, in a few years, these are going to be worth a ton. And then I look back and they're worth, you know, like $1.25 because it's super common or something like that.
Right.
I understand you used to play baseball. Tell me about your defining moment as a player.
Oh, boy, defining moment. I like to think of myself as kind of like a Nigel Morgan type player. Not quite as out there as eccentric. I don't know if you guys saw his interview last night.
That was awesome.
Yeah, he didn't even know what inning it was, which is a little bit inexcusable for a major league player, but you gotta love the guy's intensity at least. But I played center field mostly in high school, a little bit of left field too, and I was a leadoff scrappy type hitter. I'm not a real big guy, so any game I could help my team win would pretty much be my defining moment in high school. I just tried to get on base and steal a couple extra bases, get some runs across for our team.
Just about 30 seconds here. I know you do play-by-play for UW Oshkosh. Would you want to do some announcing for the bigs one day?
That is my ultimate dream job, actually, that or Sports Center anchor. That's pretty much, there's no other job that I could imagine that would be better for me than broadcasting baseball. I have a lot of fun doing it, and it was a lot of fun this past season for the Titans. So hopefully, ultimately, someday I'll be on the radio calling games.
Yeah, well, we'd love to hear you. Andrew Bauman, Dunn Bauman, thank you very much for your time. It was good luck to you.
Thanks for having me.
All right, you bet. He's a freshman at UW Oshkosh, play-by-play announcer for the Titans and host of the Friday Night Sports page on WRST Radio. I'm Bill Martins. I'm filling in for Glenn Moberg this week here on Route 51 on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. More baseball coming up after the news.
Support for WPR comes from UMR, a United Healthcare company providing employee benefits administration, integrated health management, and pharmacy benefits administration for self-funded employers throughout the U.S. More at umr.com.
The one constant through all the years, Ray, has been baseball. America has rolled by like an army of steamrollers. It's been erased like a blackboard, rebuilt and erased again. Baseball has marked the time. This field, this game, it's a part of our past, Ray. It reminds us of all that once was good, and it could be again. Oh, people will come, Ray. People will most definitely come.
Welcome back to a baseball edition of Route 51 on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Bill Martins, in for Glenn Moberg. Glenn will resume hosting duties next week. That clip, of course, from the movie Field of Dreams, which I think is the best movie about baseball, not necessarily the best baseball movie. You see the difference? For that, I'd say Major League, because it takes place in County Stadium. You've got Bob Uecker, who's hilarious. Characters are good. And actually, if you go to the Route 51 Facebook page, we've got an online poll there about baseball movies, and you can vote for your favorite. Field of Dreams, which you just heard there, is in first. Major League closing in on Field of Dreams, so we'll see if that changes throughout the hour here. Stay tuned for that. Well, we've talked about the Brewers, a little bit about the Northwoods League and the Woodchucks and Rafters. We certainly can talk more about that if you'd like, but if you've got any questions or thoughts about baseball, maybe you've got a funny or amazing story to tell from your days playing ball, or there's a memorable game you want to, you know, heck, you can even nominate a favorite movie on the air. Pretty much if it's baseball, you're probably okay. So 1-800-780-9742, 1-800-780-9742 if you want to get in on the action. Coming up in about 7 minutes or so, we're going to talk with one of the newest members of the Central Wisconsin Baseball Hall of Fame, Pam Gardner. She's a DC Everest graduate who is now president of operations for the Houston Astros. She's also listed as one of the top 20 most influential women in sports. How cool is that? So we'll catch up with her, and maybe she'll tell us her favorite baseball movie. Joining us again is Chris Schulte, sports editor from the Wausau Daily Herald. Chris, what's your favorite sports movie?
Definitely Field of Dreams. I, you know, just really enjoyed it. In fact, in some different presentations or whatever I've had to give over the years, I've actually quoted a few lines from it in my talks and stuff. So that's by far the best favorite baseball movie.
Yeah, and anything, I think anything that's got James Earl Jones in it pretty much is not a bad thing. I actually share his birthday, so I've got a special appreciation for James Earl Jones there. No.
Oh, okay.
No. not that lucky. Well, Chris, you know, we've got a question on Facebook from a different Chris. He wants some clarity on the infield fly rule. You know, I used to get so mad when I'd be playing a video game, for example, and I'd get hit with the infield fly rule. Never really understood what that was. Do you know what that's all about?
I know the layman's explanation. Basically, if there's a guy on first and second, I believe, and less than two outs, if the ball is hit, popped up in the infield, the batter's automatically out. Basically, it's to prevent guys from catching it and then dropping it on purpose and getting an easy double play or even triple play.
Ah, that certainly makes sense.
I'm not sure if it comes into effect with one out or two outs. I don't know. I am embarrassed not to say I know.
Well, I didn't mean to put you on the spot there. I'm looking something up on the computer here. Well, here's – let me read you. What this is from
Now the pressure's on. You asked me to explain it. Now you're going to read it. All right, go for it.
Well, this was from Wikipedia, but I checked this out on a couple of other sites, and it jives. Well, it's a baseball rule that's intended to prevent infielders from intentionally dropping pop-ups in order to turn double plays or triple plays. So you're right. Without this rule, a defense could easily turn a pop-up into a double play when there are runners at first and second base.
So does it have to be first and second or just first base?
According to this, it says first and second.
Okay, and then how many outs does it go into effect with?
Well, I mean, it said in order to turn double plays or triple plays. So I guess, you know,
less
either
than two outs.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly.
Okay, that was close.
So, yeah, well, that was nicely done. The infield fly rule would, you know, was a little bit confusing there. I never really understood that one growing up. He also wanted to know if you could explain a balk.
Basically, oh, you want me to start or
you going
to
going
to read the definition first?
No, I don't have that one handy.
Okay.
Go for it.
Basically, it's any motion the pitcher makes towards home plate to deceive the base runner. You know, and so if there's some type of motion, I know there's certain things you have to do, which, you know, I'd have to talk to a base, you know, a manager or somebody. But I know that's basically what it's about is deception.
Go ahead. I was going to say Randy Wolf of the Brewers actually was called for a balk during last night's game, which scored the Mets' first run. So, it's I always hated those, but you know, what are you going to do? They're a part of the game. Chris, what do you like most about baseball? We've been talking about it all this hour, but I don't know exactly what it is you like about it the most.
Well, I think it's interesting you say that because people ask me that often because I could watch baseball all day. But it's the anticipation of what's going to happen next. On every pitch, so many things can happen in a game. And I also love the fact that there's not a clock. So everybody gets their 27 outs. And you know, but I just love the anticipation of everyone. You know, people talk it moves so slow and blah blah blah. But I just love the fact that you sit there and, you know, just the anticipation of what I mean. Like in football and basketball and hockey and you know those other major sports, you kind of have an idea what's going to go on the next play, you know, based on the situation in the game. But in baseball, just so many things can happen on every single pitch. It's just, you know, it keeps you, you know, glued to the set and seeing some unbelievable things over the years as a kid and as an adult. I know I covered AAA baseball in Salt Lake in the 90s, and I was talking to Scott Olger, who's now the third base coach at the Twins, and he told me that in all the years in baseball, every day he goes to a game, he sees something new that he's never seen before, which is pretty remarkable.
Yeah, I've always been fascinated by pitchers. I mean, to be able to grip the ball in so many different ways and make the ball curve or sink, do this and do that is just very cool to me. And I always find it a lot of fun to watch games on TV and try to identify the kind of pitch that was thrown. Some are a little bit easier to spot than others. How good are you at spotting that?
I'm a lot better now than I was years before I started covering AAA baseball, that's for sure. You know, just because I'd watch 140 games a summer for 5 years. But, you know, I'm pretty good at picking up on, you know, what kind of a pitch it is and things like that.
Sure. You know, we
I'm
talked
to teach
a little
my
bit
my daughter the game too. She's only six, so I have
you know,
someone who will listen to me.
She learning a few things here and there.
Yeah, a few good, a few not so good.
Got it. Well, you know, we were talking earlier about the aluminum versus wooden bats thing. I know that. Yeah, well, are you, Chris, are you more of a baseball purist in that you prefer the sound of that wooden bat, or are you all right with using using aluminum?
Oh, no, I'm a wood bat. I'm a traditionalist all the way. And, I just love the crack of the bat. And I think one of the things I don't like about baseball now is the guys are too lovey-dovey with each other. You know, it's like, you know, bring back the days when the guys, you know, players didn't like each other, you know. Nowadays they sit behind the batting cage and chit-chat before the game, and they talk at the bases, and that drives me crazy. They were, you know, they were talking about last night, actually, in David Ortiz's career, he has not been hit once by a Yankee pitcher in his entire
really?
Career. And the guy just sits on fastballs all night, and here I am, now I'm going off. It's like last night after he hit his home run in the first inning, the next pitch, time he was up, A.J. Burnett just grooving it again. It's like, get him off the plate, you know. And I missed that from when I was a kid.
Yeah, those the good old days. Yeah. I remember watching a Brewer game one time. It was a day game, and I can't remember who they were playing. It was still when they were in the American League, and there was a huge bench-clearing brawl, and it delayed the game like 15 minutes. But yeah, it added a little excitement to what was kind of a boring game at that point. But
yeah, and I mean, I'm not advocating poor sportsmanship. I'm not advocating plunking guys. But I think the pitcher has to claim the inside part of the plate. And nowadays, they just don't do it, and it's just I don't know. It's but I still, I mean, heck, I love the game, though, even at the prices we have to pay nowadays.
Yeah, well, all right, Chris, take a breather for a few minutes here. We'll bring you back. Time to bring on our next guest, who joins us from Houston, Texas. She's actually a native of Green Bay, graduated from DC Everest, and is now president of operations for the Houston Astros. President of operations. And earlier this year, she was inducted into the Central Wisconsin Baseball Hall of Fame. Pam Gardner, welcome to Route 51 on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Well, thanks so much. It's nice to be with you.
Yeah, well, your Astros did the Brewers a favor last night and took care of St. Louis. Thank you very much for that.
Well, we've been having trouble taking care of anyone, but hopefully we'll get on track here. Yes, it was a wonderful game last night. We're happy to help the Brewers.
Yeah, well, we appreciate that. You know, I got to be honest, when I think of people who get their start in Wisconsin, and I'm a Green Bay area native myself, Howard to be exact, and later spent a few years in Wausau before winding up here in Madison, you know, I think of humble, down-to-earth, just, you know, simple, regular people. And I got to think of being the president of ops for a big league baseball team has got to be sort of a dream come true for you, is it not?
I think it's a dream come true. It would be for anyone. It's really, it's a special environment. It's a special place to be, and, you know, to be surrounded by all of these competitive and wonderful sports figures and be a part of that is, it is a dream come true.
How'd you get from Wausau to Houston?
Well, I went through Chicago, did my college thing, ended up working in Chicago for about 12 years, and actually came down here and started as the director of advertising and worked my way up the ladder. So I snuck in the back door.
Uh-huh. Well, what got you into baseball?
You know, I've always been a sports fan, and my mother back in Wisconsin used to listen to the Milwaukee Braves at that time on the radio. And so we were sports fans, obviously. I was a Packer backer and loved to listen to baseball on the radio. So over time, that just becomes ingrained. And I really love being part of an environment that has something magical to it. And sports is very much that. It's entertainment.
How hard is it for you when the Astros are playing Milwaukee?
Well, you know, I hate to say this because my brother still lives in Wisconsin, and when he takes his family, he wears Astros gear. So, you know, I will not say his name on the air so as to protect his safety. Your heart tugs at that, and I lived in Chicago for a while, and these are all my Central Division rivals. But at the end of the day, I've been here for 23 years, and I'm a Houston fan. Sorry.
Yeah, well, I can understand that, so we'll let that go. Congratulations on being inducted into the Central Wisconsin Baseball Hall of Fame, you along with Mike Gerschle, Craig Scheffler, and Bill Helmuth. What was that experience like for you?
You know, it was an honor. It's very exciting, and it's very humbling to be honored by the place that you came from, and I think it's important to always remember where you did come from. And so I was humbled by it, and so many great people have come from Wisconsin who are in sports today, but more particularly in baseball.
And I understand you are also listed as one of the top 20 most influential women in sports. That's a pretty high honor. How special is that?
Well, Bill, there's not many of us, so we need to get a few more in so we can have some more influential women. But it is very nice, and slowly but surely we're changing the image of that for women, and more women are becoming involved in the sport, and we just need to nurture that and bring it along so that there are more opportunities for women.
I was going to say baseball is generally more of a male-dominated field. Was there any motivation in being a woman and wanting to show people that, hey, the ladies can get it done too?
Never thought about it as I went through the ranks here. I always thought about doing my job in the best way that I could. But now having arrived at this position, I do spend a lot of time on mentorship and speaking about leadership in the community and trying to bring young women along so that they have the access and the ability to get involved. We need more. Diversity is good.
How often do you get back to Wisconsin?
Not as often as I'd like. I was on my way week after next, and I got sidetracked. So I have to schedule that. But I do have family in Wisconsin, and I get back enough to have bratwurst when I need it. And, some of that good central Wisconsin hospitality.
And brats are on my menu for dinner tonight right after the show. So I'm glad to see that you're still representing the bratwurst down there in Houston. That's good stuff.
I am.
All right. Pam Gardner, thank you very much for your time, and take care of those Cardinals again tonight, and we'll see if some of that can rub off on the Brewers tomorrow when they play them.
We'll do our best. We'll try and keep them humble. Thank you. Good luck to you. Take care.
Thank you very much. You too. Pam Gardner, president of operations for the Houston Astros, and was inducted this past January into the Central Wisconsin Baseball Hall of Fame. Graduating from DC Everest, great to talk with her. And it'd be great to talk with you as well. We've got about 9 minutes to go until we're out of town for another week. 1-800-780-9742. 1-800-780-9742. If you want to tell a baseball story, talk a little baseball, nominate a favorite baseball movie, that'd be great. You're listening to Route 51 on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Go get it, Willie.
Say, hey, Willie, go get it.
What do you mean, go get it? Man, that ball's way in left field.
I don't care what field it's in. Willie plays all field.
Every time we come to the game, you're talking about Willie plays all the field.
That's right.
Let's call Willie and ask him. Call him.
Okay, hey, Willie.
Yes.
Are you Willie Mays?
Yes.
Whose ball was that?
Why was it?
In left field.
Well, that's Irvin's ball.
I told you that. Every time we come to the game, we got to talk about it. The next time, I'm going to sit in the grandstand.
Say, hey, fellas, what's your name?
Say who?
Say Willie. Say hey.
Say who?
Swinging at the plate. Say hey.
Say who?
Say Willie. That giant kid is great. When he hits the ball, it's long gone.
Support for WPR comes from Northwind Renewable Energy Stevens Point, partnering with Focus on Energy to provide clean, renewable energy for Wisconsin residents, specializing in Velux residential solar hot water systems. Learn more at northwindre.com.
Hey, Evelyn, can I ask you a question? You got a moment?
Mm-hmm. Which team do you play for?
Well, I'm a peach.
Well, I was just wondering, because I couldn't figure out why you'd throw home when we've got a two-run lead. You let the tying run get on second, and we lost the lead because of you. Now you start using your head. Are you crying?
No.
Are you crying? Are you crying? There's no crying. There's no crying in baseball.
Yeah, there's no crying in baseball. I think our guest Chris Schulte probably agrees with that, the sports editor from the Wausau Daily Herald. By the way, Bill Martin's here on Route 51 on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, sitting in for Glenn Moberg, who will be back next week. Chris talking about emotion in baseball. That seemed kind of appropriate there.
Yeah.
So a question for you that I hear whenever the topic of records comes up. You know, which baseball record is most likely to never be broken? I mean, will someone ever hit 400 on the season again? Will Joe DiMaggio's, I think, 56-game hitting streak ever fall? What do you think?
Wow, that's a tough one. I think that actually the longevity records are the ones that I think may not fall again. We may not see someone get 300 wins again, for instance. Mm-hmm. I think hitting 400, we can say it'll never happen again, but you just never know. If some kid, you know, right now playing Little League, you know, 10, 15, 20 years from now could get up there and hit 400. And then, you know, George Brett came real close. John Olerud had that year that he came, you know, relatively close. You know, the 56 game hitting streak again, I mean, that one there, you know, you think, wow, that's, you know, almost impossible, but you just never know. Whereas I think the longevity records are the ones that, you know, we may not see fall again.
Yeah, and with how much offense there is in baseball these days, I suppose seeing a 400 hitter very well could be possible. What a feat that would be.
Yeah.
Do you have a specific baseball moment that you really just, I don't know, you think of baseball and just favorite memories? Is there one that really stands out to you?
Well, there's two, actually, for me. I was actually at the 1996 World Series Game 6 with my son when the Yankees clinched. And when they beat the Braves, so obviously that's got to, you know, rank up there because we were actually at the ball game, and the chances of being there on a night when someone clinches the World Series isn't real good.
Yeah.
And then obviously the slow roller behind the bag, it gets through Buckner, here comes Bryant, the Mets win it. That 1986 game, you know, that wasn't a very good imitation of Vince Scully, but I had the words right. That obviously is another unbelievable. You know, unbelievable memory and stuff. But I have, my first game I took my son to, his first game, first inning, he gets a foul ball. You know, I mean, I've been to more games than I can count. I still haven't got one.
I got one. I went to a Brewers Cubs game at the old County Stadium, and I was sitting in the mezzanine level. And Shane Matthews of the Cubs was up, and he fouled one off the third base line, coming right at my buddy's forehead, and he ducked, and I threw my hands up there, didn't catch it. I knocked it down, and I grabbed it, so it wasn't a catch, but that was still a pretty exciting moment there.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, the funny thing was, you know, first batter, second pitch, you know, my son gets one. So by the fourth inning, he's whining because he hasn't got a second one. You know, I thought the people were going to throw him out of the upper deck. You know, here he's like, hey, kid, this doesn't happen every day, let alone every inning.
Yeah, you hang on to that one.
Yeah.
You know, you mentioned Vince Scully before, but there's something about listening to baseball games on the radio, and that always makes me think of Bob Uecker. Do you have a favorite Uecker story or a favorite thing about Bob Uecker that comes to mind?
I just think he's just a great storyteller. You know, I mean, you know, Brewers can be up by 10, down by 10, or it could be a tie game in the ninth, and if all of a sudden something will pop in his head and he'll start telling the story. You know, and I just love those old-time announcers. And you know, I remember as a kid, my big treat was when my dad would let me go to sleep while, you know, by the Yankee game, you know, and that was, you know, the big thing, listening to on the radio. And I think the imagery that you're able to create, you know, you're able to create your own picture when you're listening to it. And obviously via guys like Uecker and stuff. And my dad actually listened to Don Larsen's Perfect Game on the car radio when he was a kid, on his way to work at, in Connecticut, and he actually went to work late because he wasn't going to go in until the game was over, and or until the perfect game was broke up, and it never was, so he was late to work. So, but there's something special about the radio, that's for sure.
Absolutely. Well, we've got a final on our Facebook poll here on Best Baseball Movie, and Field of Dreams wins, followed by Major League, which nearly tied it, and The Rookie slides into third. I've actually only seen a part of The Rookie. I've never seen that whole thing.
Have you ever seen the baseball movie Bang the Drum Slowly?
No, should I?
That's a classic. It's kind of baseball's version of the Brian song. But it's Robert De Niro, one of his first movies.
Well, the wife's going to be out of town this weekend, so maybe I'll watch that with the cats.
It's a good movie. It's a lot of fun.
All right. Well, we're out of time, Chris. It was nice having you here, sports editor for the Wausau Daily Herald. Maybe we'll do it again at some point.
Sounds great. Thanks for having me.
All right. You bet. Well, and thank you also to Andrew Dunn Bauman. You heard from him in the first half. He's from UW Oshkosh. Great to have him here talking about the youth perspective of baseball. And good show. Thank you to Rick Ryer, who did a lot of the engineering work here and finagled the phone lines. He was running all over the place and did quite well there. Nicely done, Rick. And, of course, musical credits. the Trainers, and of course AC/DC, you heard right off the top, and this beauty in the background. We'll leave you with that. I'm Bill Martins, and until next week, we're heading out of town.